Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
What I want to do is I want to just, in the next few moments, talk about the theme, Send Revival, talk about fasting to get our hearts ready to fast. One of the things that I've told our staff is don't just show up on Sunday and say, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? But get your heart ready. Begin thinking about what it is God wants you to do, how it is that God wants you to fast, what it is that God is putting in your heart that He wants to do, not only in the church, but He wants to do in your life in particular through this fast. So that we're targeting our prayers. So that we're listening to the Lord. We're letting the Lord lead us in the direction that He wants us to go, that He might do in us the things that often can only happen in a time of fasting and prayer. And I believe this, I believe the Lord wants to draw us closer to Him individually and as a church, that the area might be drawn closer to Him. Hence, we're talking about send revival. In Psalm 85, the psalmist says this, won't you revive us again so your people can rejoice in you? Listen, when God revives people, there is a spirit of joy. When God begins to work in a place, when you have revival, you have answered prayer. You have it on a bigger scale. You have more things happening. And when you have answered prayer, you're going to have people rejoicing. People are drawing close to God. People are going to pray with greater effect. They're going to see God do miracles. When God does miracles and they have answered prayer, then there's rejoicing. Jesus said, ask that you might receive and your joy be made full. Ask and you receive that your joy will be made full. Verse 7, show us your unfailing love, O Lord. Grant us your salvation or your deliverance. If you need God to rescue you, to help you, to deliver you, this is a great thing about revival. If you need a loved one to get saved, it's a great thing about revival that God works in that way. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks peace to His faithful people. Listen, when you and I are, when God revives our spirit, when He draws us closer, when He renews us, when He does a work in us, what happens is we hear the voice of God more clearly. God wants to speak things to our heart. God wants to show you things. Things He wants to do in you. Things He wants to do through you. Sometimes what happens is people find themselves living a life that they think is for Him, but not realizing that they've gotten away from the purpose for which God has created them. And when you fast, the Lord's going to speak and He's going to recalibrate the compass of our life. But let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him. So our land will be filled with His glory. Listen, what we're praying honestly is, Lord, revive us, revive the church, that the land of Southwest Missouri might be filled with His glory. The Lord knows we need it, right? So we're praying for that. Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 3, and we've got this in your brochure. Oh Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work, oh Lord. I do fear, I respect it. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. The NLT puts it this way, I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. What he's saying is, what you did in the past, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the amazing acts that demonstrated your power. Lord, do it again in our day. Let us see it in our time. That's the cry of our heart. That's what revival is about. Lord, let the miracles of the Bible be the miracles of our life. Let the things you did in times past be things you do in times present. Let us know you, not just because we've read about you in your word, but because we've seen you do it in our lives. We've experienced your presence. That's God's heart. The beautiful thing about it is when we're praying that, it's the heart of God to do that, to demonstrate his power. Revival, what is revival? Well, revival is a noun. Here's the first thing on dictionary.com, the very first definition: restoration to life, consciousness, vigor, or strength. When we're talking about send revival, we're talking about, Lord, strengthen your people, make us stronger than we've ever been, make us more sensitive to you than we've ever been, give us a vigor, give us a consciousness, give us an awareness, do a work in us so that we're walking with you like we have never walked with you before. I believe God wants to do that through these 21 days of fasting and prayer. J.I. Packer says this: revival is God's quickening visitation of his people, touching their hearts and deepening his work of grace in their lives. Everybody needs that. All of us can go deeper. All of us benefit from a fresh touch. All of us benefit from a deeper walk with God and encounter with his presence. And Robert Coleman, who's the author of God's Master Plan of Evangelism, says the revival is the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. I mean, God has a call for his church, and he's got a call for the people in his church individually. And a lot of times we get away from what God has designed us to do and to be. Revival recalibrates us and gets us back on track. Richard Owen Roberts, a pastor and a student of revival, says this: revival is an extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit producing extraordinary results. That's really, I don't know what background you're from. Hopefully everybody in this room is on the same page that we want to be on as a church, and that is, we're not worried about our tradition, we're worried about what the Bible says. And God wants to pour his Spirit out with extraordinary results. God wants his people to be so full of the Spirit of God that their life is characterized by a power of God that when people see it, they are stunned and amazed by it. So we're going to be talking about that as we move through the fall, because we're actually going to be doing the book of Acts. I haven't preached on Acts in 20 years, so it's time to do Acts. Duncan Campbell says this: revival is a community saturated with God. I love that. Imagine James River Church at every campus and online, saturated with God in a way you've never known, in a way we've never experienced. The way we move into that really is fasting and prayer. Fasting causes us to seek vertical solutions to horizontal problems. Fasting breaks the yoke of bondage. There are some, and as you're in the prayer meeting tonight, either you or someone you love is bound. They're in bondage. Could be an emotional situation, could be an addiction, a substance situation, could be something that involves immorality, but they're bound. Revival and the Spirit of God can break that, and fasting can lead to that kind of power. Fasting results in God's supernatural breakthroughs. Fasting brings divine wisdom to life's perplexing problems. Fasting brings heaven's answer and hell's defeat. That's why we have to fast. In Matthew 6, Jesus gave us three duties of every Christian. He said this, Matthew chapter 6, first of all, in verse 2, when you give, every Christian ought to give. Christians ought to be known as people who give. They honor God with their tithe, and they are people who are givers. Second is praying. In verse 5, when you pray, it's not if you give, it's when you give. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. And then he says, third, fasting. In verse 16, when you fast. What is fasting? There are three kinds of fast. Number one, there's an absolute fast where you don't have any food or water. People can do that for up to 3 days. Really, you need to have no activity if you're going to do that, and you need to certainly talk to your doctor before you do it. But there are absolute fasts in the Bible. Queen Esther did an absolute fast and saved the Jewish nation. Number two is a normal fast, which would be abstaining from food but drinking lots of water. And a lot of people say, well, can I drink fruit juice? Here's the problem. If you drink a sugary drink, it will simply make your fast way more painful because you'll be hungry all the time. If you drink water, eventually what happens is your body begins to adjust to that. But abstaining from food and drinking lots of water. And then there's a partial fast, and it can be done in a variety of ways. One of the more common ways is a Daniel fast, where you abstain from animal products. That'd be meat, dairy, eggs, bread, anything made with sugar or caffeine. Essentially, anything that tastes really good is out. And anything that tastes bad or you're not really interested in, that's in. That's what's for dinner. So, Daniel fast, and so it's a great way to fast, and we've done it several times as a church. There's a cookbook in the brochure that will help you with that. Another way to fast would be a liquid fast, where you say, I'm not going to eat anything that but liquids. So whatever it is that you would include in that. Another one would be fasting from sunrise to sunset. So, you got to make sure you don't misunderstand what I'm saying and say, well, Pastor said I could fast from sunset to sunrise while I'm sleeping. So we want you to fast while you're awake. That's going to be a better, more productive fast. Or you can fast a meal a day, two meals a day. Some will choose to fast for 3 days and then maybe fast a meal a day. I would encourage you to fast every single day for the 21 days in some form, some fashion. Yeah. To say, God, for 21 days, I'm going to set my heart on seeking you. For 21 days, I'm going to carve a new channel in my walk with you that's going to be deeper. So I'm going to know you more. A person, and I realize there are some who will say, well, I'm diabetic or I can't this or that. Listen, everybody can give up something. And I think it's a mistake to say, well, I'm going to give up TV and not deal with food. I think there's something about dealing with food and there's something about using the time you would eat or certainly eating something pleasant where you're not doing that. And you're saying, I'm going to spend time seeking the Lord. If you don't eat and then you don't pray, that's a diet. So that's not fasting, that's dieting. And, that has its own purpose. But spiritually, if we want the effect of fasting, then while we would be eating, we're setting that time aside to be able to seek the Lord. Honestly, I think the way to think of fasting is, and let me just go back to television or anything like that. I don't think it would be bad to add that to it, to say, listen, I'm going to fast what I enjoy on television. If that's something that you do a lot of, it'd probably be really good to set that aside. Maybe for some, a really great fast would be to get off social media. For others, a really great fast would be to avoid Fox, CNN, or any of the news channels and say, because there are some, and you have that on in your home all the time. Right. and you would find yourself completely liberated by just not having the negativity and the nastiness that is a part of those programs flowing through your house 24/7. I feel much better having said that. You know, honestly, fasting is when you're more hungry for something you can't see than you are for what you can see. Fasting is saying, God, there are some things I can't see, but I desire them more than the food I can see. I desire them more than feeling good in my body. I would rather feel good and see you do some things in my heart and my spirit. You know, if someone comes to you and says, I feel sorry for you that you have to fast, what you need to do is very quickly say, don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to see God work. You know, I don't need anybody's pity. I'm headed toward greater things, because that's what fasting does. Now, as a church, and we've got this written out for you, here's the things we're going to be fasting. I'll bring them up on the screen. We're fasting for a spiritual awakening across Missouri and our nation, especially Southwest Missouri. I mean, the problems socially within Southwest Missouri are shocking. When you think of the Bible Belt, and people have a tendency to think there's all these churches, so everything's okay. The fact of the matter is there's not enough churches, and there's not enough healthy churches, and there are people going to hell all around us. And there's violence, and there's poverty, and there's addiction, and there's abuse, and there's all kinds of things going on, and the only thing that's going to solve it is a spiritual awakening. So we need to really cry out to God. We need to stand in the gap for this area, for this city, for the cities that you're a part of that are represented by this church you're watching online, for the city that you're at. Pray for it, but pray for Springfield in Southwest Missouri, that there would be a spiritual awakening. No awakenings ever happened without God's people praying. So it doesn't happen just because it happens. It happens always out of prayer meetings, out of people gathering. Don't even have to be big prayer meetings, but when people gather to pray, spiritual awakening happens. Number two, we're fasting for a move of God in every James River church service. I put it that way because in the children's area, in the youth area, in the preschool area, I mean, hey, we want a move of God in Super Church. We want a move of God in the factory, in the warehouse. We want a move of God in the youth centers at each of our campus. We want a move of God in every service. We want it in the 9 o'clock. We want it in the 10:45. We want it at the South Campus in the 12:30. We want it on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. I believe our best prayer meetings are yet to come. We want a move of God, so we're fasting for that. Number three, for the people of James River Church to be strong in the Lord. We want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, like you've never been strong in the Lord. Let's pray for one another. Pray for your pastoral staff. Pray for your leadership, but pray for one another. Let's pray that God would make the people of James River stronger than we've ever been in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what I think of with strong. Not only strong enough to stand for Him, but strong enough to demonstrate His power to a watching world, strong in the sense of full of the Spirit of God, overflowing with a holy boldness and signs and wonders following. Number four, we want to pray for the COVID-19 pandemic to end. I realize as I say that, there's a number of people like, do you really think that could happen? Listen, as your faith is, be it unto you. If we don't believe that God can answer prayer, listen, He can stop a drought. He can send rain. He can send anything that we need if we'll pray and call on Him. Listen, the church is what else are we going to do? I mean, let's believe God for the pandemic to end. Your faith is, be it unto you. Number five, growth for all of our James River campuses, the South, at the West, at the North, Joplin, online. I mean, we had 42,000 people watching Sunday online, so that's really amazing. But for all of our campuses to grow, for all of the campuses to reach people. Let's pray. It doesn't happen, you know, and we're not interested in transfer growth. We're interested in people getting saved. And right now, already this year, we've got record salvations, record baptisms. So the Lord is helping us. He's growing the church for sure. Number six, for people to connect in life groups. We've got to connect people together. Listen, church is not a spectator sport. It's people doing life together, connected in life groups. And we're going to be having a life group leaders connect time at the end of August, a conference. It's going to be great. Then we're going to be launching life groups. If you're not in one, you need to be in one. Let's fast and pray. You fast about getting in a life group, okay? The Lord will help you to do that if you're not. Number seven, Designed for Life Women's Conference. We're really excited about this. It's going to be twice in this building. We couldn't at the time when we were making decisions. Missouri State was not available to us. So we said, we're just going to have it here 2 weeks in a row at this campus. But next year, then we'll be back in JQH and here. But let's pray that the power of God will descend on that conference. The conference, honestly, is going to be sold out. If you've not bought your ticket, you're going to need to do that. Number eight, we want to pray for our schools, our students, our teachers, and our administrators. We want to pray that God would touch them. And while we're praying for the pandemic to end, let's pray for our medical professionals for sure as we're doing that. So those are the things we're asking God to do. Fasting is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. And God can do way more than we can do. Powerful things, you know, and this is why I'm so excited about the fast. Powerful things happen when a church fasts. I mean, we're sitting in a building at the South Campus. So if you're watching at Joplin, I mean, you're the result of a fast. If you're over at the North Campus, you're the result of a fast. If you're at the West Campus, you're a result of a fast. If you're watching online, you're the result of a fast. I can tell you this, every single campus has started because we fasted and prayed. I mean, it's been very interesting to watch that. Fasting and praying, not knowing if, for example, in the North Campus, where we were going to meet, what we're going to do. We'd already announced we were starting the campus, had no idea where we were going to go. Fasting and praying and watching God open the door for that building in a beautiful way and going before us on that. I think of this building, and I think of the amazing story of the family owning the land since the Civil War era, and us going and talking to the family, and the lady that owned it telling me, listen, when I die, then the kids can do what they want with it, but I'm not selling it. And Debbie and I having refreshments on her porch in Ozark, getting in the car. I can remember driving down 3rd Street, Debbie saying to me, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to call the church to a fast. We called a 3-day fast, and after 3 days of fasting and praying, 1 week later, the lady's daughter called and said, are you interested in the land? And I said, yes, but your mother said she wouldn't sell it. She said, that's not what I've asked. Are you interested in the land? I said, yes, we are. She said, well, then it's for sale to James River Church and no one else. So, you know, it's interesting. A fast changes everything. That's why I'm saying this is a powerful time. If this is your first time fasting, you want to jump in and be a part of this. If you fasted before, listen, this is a time when God is going to move. This is a time when things will happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. This is why it's so absolutely critical. And I know some people are tired from the pandemic and you're worn out and you've got a lot of cares. All the more reason to fast. This is a time we need God's help. This is a time our area needs God's help. This is a time the church needs God's help. This is a time every single one of us needs God's help. Amen? Amen. So fasting is a way for us to see God do some amazing things. I was looking back through our 2018. We were fasting. A part of our fast on this was for Joplin to have a permanent campus. So interesting to look back. I hope you keep a prayer journal and you think about what has happened, what has God done. You have that list of things you were praying for. So here we are, 3 years later, they not only have a campus, they have a beautiful campus, a brand new campus, and it's totally debt-free. I mean, that's an amazing thing to watch what God has done. Some of you have things that you need. Let me just say this. Every time we have fasted as a church, every time we fasted as a pastoral staff, every time Debbie and I have fasted, we've seen God do things, supernatural things, after the fast. Every time. I don't know what you need, but whatever it is that you need, now is the time to fast and to seek Him. When you read the Bible, when people needed supernatural intervention, they fasted. And, you know, fasting can help us in a variety of ways. Some of you need favor. Some of you need God to move in a situation that seems impossible. And you can fast and God can give you favor with people. I mean, you see it in the story of Nehemiah. Here's Nehemiah, and he hears Jerusalem is in ruins. And what did he do? He said he mourned and wept for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. What's he fasting for? He's asking for the most powerful monarch of his day to change his foreign policy and allow Jerusalem to be rebuilt after he had decreed it should never be rebuilt. And he goes to him and he asks for God to give him favor. We read this in verse 11. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah goes to the most powerful person in the world of his day and asks him to change his foreign policy. And the king not only changes his foreign policy, but pays for Jerusalem to be rebuilt. Talk about an amazing change of heart. You know, fasting can change people's heart. It can give you a favor. I mean, I've told this story before, but I think about it when I fast, because when we were in Kansas City, we needed land, and we were meeting in a school, and so we just felt we really needed to get some land, and so there was a piece of ground, a beautiful piece of ground, and we needed $100,000 down, and then we'd be able to finance the balance and make it work. And here I am with, at the time, the church had about 35 people, and so and most of them were just either new Christians or I didn't think the resource would be there. So what I did is, there was a Christian businessman in Kansas City. I'd never met him. He didn't know who we were. So what I did is I fasted for 12 days. And at the start of the fast, I called him and asked for a breakfast appointment. And so I fasted for 12 days. After 12 days of fasting, I met him for breakfast. We talked for a little bit. After we talked for a bit, he said, well, obviously you had a reason for asking me to meet with you. What is it? I said, well, you know, we're pastoring this church and we need land. It would really make a massive difference. And we've located a piece of ground, but we need, in 10 days, I need $100,000 to close on it. And he said, and how can I help you with that? I said, I'd like you to give me $100,000. He was taken back. You know, I mean, I can remember that. And I said, you know what? I don't think I've offended you, because I don't think it would offend anybody to be asked for $100,000. I mean, it would say, I think you can do it, which would be a recognition of your success as a businessman. I remember saying that to him. He said this to me. He said, well, don't you think, well, what's your church raised? And I said, well, we only have 35 people. He said, don't you think your church should do something? I said, I do. And he said, so what are they going to do? I said, I'm going to find out this Sunday. And I said, we're gonna take an offering Sunday and see what they'll do. He said, well, okay. He said, I'll tell you what, you take an offering and whatever they don't give of the 100,000, you call me and I'll write you a check that afternoon. You can come by and pick it up for the balance. That's amazing. So that Sunday, we had our offering. We received $95,000. I was shocked. So fasting, through that fast, God worked in the hearts of the people to produce a miracle I would have never in a million years imagined could happen. And when I called this businessman and told him, I said, hey, I got good news for you. He said, what's that? I said, well, the people gave $95,000. He was stunned. He said, well, I'll write a check for $5,000. I'm really happy for you. Sure, he was happy for himself. The fact of the matter, though, is fasting has that kind of ability to change a situation. The problem is, we just don't do it. And if we do it, we don't believe God will do it. You know, what do you believe God will do? What do you believe He wants to do in your situation? What do you think He wants to do in the church? That's why we want to fast. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and we're going to worship the Lord. And here's what I want you to do in the next few moments as we're worshiping the Lord. I want you to say, Lord, speak to me about what it is that you want to do that couldn't happen any other way, but you want to do through this fast. We've given you the list of 8 things in the church. I'm asking you to make those a part of your fast, but then there's things that you need personally for God to do. You know what? God is not afraid of your bold prayers. He's not intimidated by them. He's not offended by them. In fact, I would suggest to you, He's offended by anything less than a bold request. He delights to show Himself. I'm not talking about selfishness. I'm talking about things that we genuinely need from the Lord, that we're saying, God, I believe this is in keeping with your kingdom, your kingdom will, your kingdom direction, your ruling in my life. These are the things I need from you. These are the things I want you, I believe you would want to do. And then fasting and praying for them to happen. Listen, I'm just telling you, fasting is so incredibly powerful. It's not the end all be all in the Christian life in terms of receiving from God. But what fasting does is fasting brings us into a place where we can hear the Lord, where we can sense the Lord, where we can be directed by the Lord, where His hand of favor comes on us to help us do what would not happen otherwise. And God wants to do that in your life. But let me say this. More than what God would do for any one of us is what God would do in us. This fast is a moment, is a season where you can have your life profoundly changed in terms of your walk with the Lord, where you'll go out of this 21 days different than you started, different 3 months from now, different 6 months from now, different a year from now, walking with God, knowing God, seeing God. You'll have testimonies out of this that will change the way you pray and the way you view things for the rest of your life. I believe that with all of my heart.